Navadvip Dham, by serving the holy Dham of Navadvip, all Tirthas are served. By residence in Navadvip Dham, pilgrimage to all holy places is achieved. And I will reappear here in the Kali Yuga, and you will take birth again to see my pastimes. And then Varaha disappeared. And Vasudeva was very enchanted by those words, because he was a wise pundit of Vipra. He'd studied all the Vedas, but he had not seen any indication to a golden avatar to appear in the Kali Yuga. So wanting to understand his Lord's words, Vasudeva again began a systematic approach, a study of all the Vedas. And then he saw, next time, everywhere were indications that in the 28th Divya Yuga, in the reign of Vaivishvatamanu, in the beginning of the Kali Yuga, the Lord would appear in a golden form, who is the avatari, the source of all the avatars, and inaugurate the process of Harinam Sankirtan, which is the essence and the compendium of all forms of service. But only the wise can see these indications. But after the disappearance of Lord Gauranga by the order of Lord Nityananda, Mayadevi removed the covering, and the world came to see the light as far as the scriptural evidences regarding the golden avatar in the age of Kali. So, that place in Navadvip Dham, where the Lord appeared, is non-different. Oh, then Vasudeva finished his life singing the holy names of Gaur, eager for the blessed Kali Yuga to come after so many millions of years, when that old golden avatar would come singing his own name and glories, the Lord as a devotee, bestowing Harinam Sankirtan to uplift the world from the depths of darkness and restore the harmony and balance of the spiritual world by bestowing bhakti in the form of the congregational chantings of the holy name of the Lord. So that place in Navadvip Dham, non-different from Vrindavan, in essence, but there's the corresponding mela. Vrindavan Dham, Chintamani Dham, the abode of Madhurya Ras. When the munificence of Srimati Radharani becomes prominent, then Madhurya Dham becomes Odarya, the munificent abode of the Lord Navadvip Dham. So the place where Lord Varaha appeared in Navadvip Dham, which was named Kol Parvat because of the appearance of the boar there to Vasudeva, is non-different from Giri Govardhan of Braj, the emblem of harmony and self-sufficiency. So Prabodhananda Saraswati, that great pundit and devotee of Lord Gauranga, has sung the glories of Lord Gauranga by comparing his gift to the world with that of the previous avatars. What benefit, this is Prabodhananda Saraswati speaking, what benefit did the world achieve when Lord Nrisimha and Lord Ram killed those Daitya and Danava demons? And what importance was it that Kapila and others came to establish the paths of Sankhya and Yoga? How glorious is it that Brahma and Shiva and Vishnu maintain, destroy, and create the material universes? How auspicious is it that Varaha lifted the earth and placed her back in orbit? In comparison, these things are not so very deeply important in comparison to the truth that Lord Gauranga has appeared in this age to reveal the unlimited splendor of pure devotional service and to bestow that gift upon the world. So let us glorify that Lord Chaitanya. So, New Vrindavan is meant to be a place to demonstrate the harmony of living according to Lord Krishna's not only instructions but his own lifestyle. Krishna revealed in his own Leela how man can prosper and live in harmony. Because what is it that actually determines the harmony and sweetness to our lives? It's really a matter of relationships. Sambandha, the first cardinal truth of Vaishnava Siddhanta, means relationship with the environment. The fact is that when we're cut off from our roots, meaning the land, the earth, the cow, and the bull, we do not really understand properly the significance of Lord Krishna's arrangement. Modern technology and his propaganda tells us that we can produce so much more with a tractor. But it's all an illusion because it disrupts the harmony and balance. When I was a child, the farm where I was living, when the tractor was a flourishing dairy farm. And when the tractor came, I was just a 7-year-old child and I was chastising the farmer for allowing that thing on his farm. And I told him this is the beginning of the end. But he couldn't hear it because to him it was the most glorious thing that had ever happened in his life. He finally made it and got a tractor. And then he began producing so much grains that the government started paying him more to not produce anything than he would have made in selling his grains and cows and milk. So the farm, there was a flourishing farm, and then it just became overgrown with weeds, and then was sold off to the developers. So it's just a grand illusion, the technology. Of course, in another sense, the technological revolution has assisted the propagation of Srila Prabhupada's mission. And in this way, it has some merit. But devotees and aspiring devotees will only find encouragement when relationships are in balance. And the wonderful thing about plain living and high thinking, when you see that your sustenance is not the machines or the factories, but is actually the cow representative of the earth, the bull representative of religion, then the 8,000,000 varieties of life which Krishna created all have some contribution to your own physical and emotional well-being. So in today's toxic world, when at least several species of life are becoming extinct every hour, as the whole planet is being poisoned by the byproducts of technology and consumption of petroleum, and there seems to be like a deep-seated rage and wrath within the heart of man that since the promised golden age has not descended, we will raise it up from the ashes of this world. We need to see that as Krishna told the Brijabasis, our real relationship is with the cows in Govardhan Hill. Means Krishna's way. Plain living and high thinking is the motto for New Vrindavan. When we see that our sustenance is and our health and well-being and prosperity is really based on the land and the cows and the bulls, then we'll see them with a whole different attitude, one of appreciation. And we'll see everything and everyone in Krishna's creation with an attitude of appreciation. That they all have something to offer us and something to teach us about the one who created this whole arrangement for us to go back home, back to Godhead. So wonderful is the workings of the creation as Krishna designed it. And so horrible the ramifications of what man has done to it since the Industrial Revolution. So, on this blessed day, when Lord Varaha appeared to rescue the Earth planet from the depths of darkness in the bottom of the Garbhodak Ocean, we should appreciate how that Lord Varaha is just a portion of one plenary portion of Lord Gauranga, who appeared 500 years ago to uplift and purify the consciousness of the world by the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And when Lord Gauranga was giving his darshan in Dwarka to Narada Muni, who was so concerned about the plight of the earth and the Kali Yuga, and Lord Gauranga told him that I will spread the holy name to every town and village. And in those far off lands of the Malechas and Yavanas, where people try to flee my mercy, I will send my Senapati Bhakta to deliver them. That Senapati Bhakta, that commander, field commander of the devotees of the Lord, who went to rescue those who tried to flee and avoid the mercy of Lord Gauranga, is His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, our Eternal Lord and Master. He has established this new Vrindavan community to teach plain living, high thinking, being satisfied with Krishna's gifts, and taking those gifts and in a joyful heart serving and surrendering to Lord Krishna and taking the gift of Lord Gauranga to develop Braj Bhakti, the inconceivably exalted love of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, is the gift which Srila Prabhupada brought in the chanting of the holy names. So let us take shelter of his lotus feet and instructions and attain the purpose and goal and destination of life. By living according to Krishna's instructions and Krishna's plan and perfecting our lives and ending our sojourn in this dark mortal world by going back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? Yes.
After becoming purified, the spirit soul will take birth in Gokula in some other planet where Lord is performing his pastimes.
Some other universe.
Some other universe. I was reading what Prabhupada was mentioning, that actually this is, just when you start Krishna consciousness in this life, you won't be able to go back in one life. You know, so this is just the beginning of our Krishna consciousness. So you were saying that we can't actually go to the spiritual world in one lifetime. Then one other devotee told me that it takes 4 lifetimes to go back. So I'm confused.
It depends on our purities. You will not go back to the spiritual world until you're pure, because you wouldn't want the spiritual world until you're pure. You wouldn't be happy there, and nobody else would be happy to have you unless and until you are pure. But Srila Prabhupada gave us great hope that we can go back to Krishna even in this lifetime if we perfect our lives by purifying our hearts by attentive chanting of the holy names and following the regular principles. But going back to Krishna does not mean that in one lifetime you go back to Goloka Vrindavan. We go back to Krishna in the universe where he is now displaying, revealing his Braj Leela. Because the perfection of our lives in this world at this time will elevate us to the position where we're blessed with the association of both the sadhana siddhas who are interacting with the nitya siddhas, and that'll be our final training within the material creation. But that final training in our next lifetime will be with Krishna and his nitya siddha associates and his cows, along with all the sadhana siddhas who are coming up from whatever universes and joining that entourage of eternal associates of Lord Krishna in that Gokul where he is at the time of our next life revealing his Leela. And that will be the culmination of our training in the material world. But it won't exactly be the material world because it'll be with Krishna. So in one sense it's back to Godhead because it's back to Krishna. But it's not the final destination of Goloka Vrindavan. It's the final training of Gokul. So, Srila Prabhupada gave us great hope and encouragement that we can perfect our existence in one lifetime if we're very serious and sincere and committed to the process he gave. But it won't be ascension to Goloka Vrindavan initially. It'll be to Gokul, which is in one sense back to Godhead, because Krishna's there. And then when he concludes that Leela and moves on, everyone goes back to Goloka. So it is possible, if we're very serious and determined and sincere, to in this one lifetime perfect our existence and go back to Krishna. It's not common, it's not cheap, it's not ordinary, but it is possible by the grace of Srila Prabhupada. Okay.
Are you saying that so in this life we have to take training by the
Yeah. The advantage of that universe where Krishna is revealing his Prakat Leela is the interactions, the association, the interactions between the sadhana siddhas and the nitya siddhas. That's the last element in their training in this material existence. The last training in personal service to Krishna and his Prakat Leela. That final perfection is awarded in the material universe where Krishna is revealing his Leela. It cannot be achieved in the material universe where Krishna is not performing his Leela. So it's back to Krishna, but it's not exactly the final destination as of yet. It's as good as it because it's service to the devotees in the perfected stage. But it's the final perfection before the final destination. And then when that Leela is concluded, you know, Krishna personally escorts all the devotees back to Goloka. So, in one sense, that's our final homecoming. That universe where Krishna is revealing his Bhauma Leela. Because from then we just ascend to Goloka. Anything else? Yes.
Are you saying that Krishna even destroyed his own son? Ramsa, that he destroyed his own son? He's offended to Vaishnava.
activities often be rational. But it's because of the conditioning, continuing to be rational. What is the state of such a devotee who has blessings of pure devotee?
The blessings of the pure devotee can be lost if we do not protect it. Temporarily lost. Simply being blessed by the pure devotee is not a guarantee that those blessings will not be withdrawn if they're abused or misused. And therefore, all the pastimes, all the scriptures, all the instructions really emphasize the grave consequences of offending and obstructing the devotees. When Lord Varaha spoke about cutting down his own son, he was talking about when anyone obstructs the devotees in their progress back to Godhead, the Lord cuts them down, no matter who they are, his own beloved son. So you see how important it is to the heart of the Lord, how dearly he wants his lost parts and parcels back home. So we go on and on and on and on, talking about how Krishna's impartial. But Krishna's also most renounced, and sometimes he renounces his partiality for the sake of his devotees. He renounces his partiality when someone obstructs his devotees. And he cuts that person down, whoever he may be. So the negative consequences are very dramatic. But the positive side is how we endear ourselves to the heart of the Lord by encouraging and assisting and serving the devotees. We emphasize so much on the positive side, service to the Vaishnavas. And the wonderful thing about service to the Vaishnavas is that they're so easily pleased. And what Krishna likes to see in service to the Vaishnavas is encouragement. And what's encouraging to the Vaishnavas? You know, anybody can go out and preach Krishna consciousness. It's really very simple. But how do you inspire someone who's lost hope, who's become discouraged? Why do devotees lose hope and become discouraged? It's usually because they're not feeling Krishna reciprocating in their lives, because there's something lacking in the substance and the quality of Vaishnava relationships. The Vaishnavas are the representatives of the holy name. Those Vaishnavas with whom we congregationally chant the holy name are the representatives of the Lord in our lives, where we are to serve, and in whom we will find the reciprocation from the holy name, giving us inspiration. When the relationships of the devotees is very cordial, very respectful, very gentle, very sattvic, we experience reciprocation of the holy name in those relationships. And it is so encouraging. It is so uplifting. And it is so important that we interact on the basis of this sacrament. So, service to the devotees places a large emphasis on encouragement. And it really doesn't take that much to encourage devotees. They just want to feel a little concern, a little love, which affirms Krishna's love for us. When we see that kind of sentiment coming through the devotees, it doesn't take very much. The simplest gestures of kindness are enough to make the devotees so hopeful and so satisfied. But if we withhold that, or conversely, if we give free rein to the very envy we're trying to subdue and obstruct the devotees in their hopes, in their aspirations, in their progress in spiritual life, then we can see that Krishna sometimes forfeits its impartiality and cuts down someone who tries to impede his lost servants and their hopeful quest to find their way back home, back to Godhead. It's not really partiality, it's really natural. But even being cut down by Krishna is beneficial because it's purifying. It's not the most desirable, but it's also beneficial. There are favorable forms of devotional service and unfavorable forms of devotional service, but at some point they all kind of converge and work together. Because all things work together for those who love God and are called to His purpose. Even the obstacles. It's meant to help us deepen our humility, deepen our submission to the Holy Name, our dependence on Krishna's mercy. Nothing is by accident, nothing's by coincidence in life. And that's another way to see how the Lord really is partial. For His devotees, He orchestrates everything in creation for their purification. You know, we say, no, Krishna's not partial, because what appears to be His partiality is simply the modes working within the framework of the time factor. And Krishna doesn't get involved with the material world, usually. But for the sake of His devotees, He does get involved, personally. He orchestrates everything. So then you can say, well, why is it, or the question regarding Shaktas, you know, those who worship Durga, they all get kinds of material blessings. But look at what the devotees get as a reward for their surrender to Krishna. He takes everything away. Yeah, He is partial. He takes everything away from the devotees. But He orchestrates everything. He sends obstacles. He sends whatever will help them take shelter more sincerely of His mercy. He'll send obstacles. He'll arrange them to help us become strong, to help us realize that the Holy Name is our only shelter. But if one gives vent to his envy by obstructing devotees, I mean, that may be useful to the devotees, but the Lord will not tolerate that kind of ego and will cut it down. That's also His mercy. But we should scrutinizingly examine, is our devotional service favorable, not unfavorable? Either will purify, but one is desirable and one's not. Anything else? Yes. Thank you.
I heard in one of Prabhupada's lectures that he says that even when Krishna wants to fight, he arranges that his devotees become his enemies, and then he fights with them because he doesn't want to do anything with the non-devotees.
Yeah.
So, in that case, when Krishna kills his enemies, they are liberated, and we understand they go back to their original position and their pastime for the Lord. But we hear that Kamsa attained the impersonal
Brahmacharya has been merged in the Brahmacharya. And what about all the demons in Krishna's pastimes? Were they his eternal associates, devotees, or what's their position? Well, all the demons are not killed personally by Krishna. Krishna considers it below his dignity to get involved with demons. So when Krishna personally, or through one of his avatars, fights with a demon, it's really a devotee who fulfills that playful desire of the Lord to fight. It's below his dignity to interact with envious entities. And as far as Kamsa attaining liberation, that was a temporary achievement, because in the larger picture, those demons came back 500 years ago. Kamsa became the Chandakazi of Navadvip Dham. And felt such an affection toward his nephew, Sri Gauranga, that he, after his trying to impede the Sankirtan movement, he was confronted by Lord Gauranga in a very gentle, loving, friendly way. Kamsa, in the form of Chandakazi, inquired that everyone's calling you Gaurhari. I would like to address you as Gaurhari. They say that you are Krishna. Is it so? And then Lord Gauranga answered that you have just now chanted the holy names of Hari and Krishna. What to speak of Gaur? Your sins are all eradicated. And then tears just began to flow from the eyes of the Chandakazi. And in Vatsalya Bhav, he addressed his nephew and promised that not only he, but all the dynasties that would ever follow in his family would never in any way ever again impede the devotees in their chanting of the holy names. So, since Lord Gauranga is the source of all the avatars who killed all the various demons in ages past, those demons returned in Gauralila to attain devotional service as the ultimate goal of their previous forms of liberation in fighting with the Lord. And really, the archetypal demons, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Kumbhakarna, Ravana, Dantavaka, Shishupal, they all merged together into the body of Jagat. So all the evils and envy of all those demons was personified in one, Jagai. And his brother Madhai was worse yet. And they attained love of God by the mercy of Lord Gauranga. So in the larger picture, everything ends in bliss. Anything else? Thank you very much. Shiva Rahadeva ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Vrindavan.